بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 6th of April in the year 2011 and alhamdulillah for the last few nights I've been mentioning various blessed reports with regards to the importance of character in the believer's life. So as promised today, moving on now to the destructive characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from this. Ameen. First of all, our beloved messenger had warned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tabarani in his Awsat and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in his Al-Bidayatul Hidayah, page 112 of the English translation. So like I mentioned before, a lot of works are entitled Al-Bidayah. Al-Bidayah means the beginning. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, one of his works is Al-Bidayatul Hidayah. This is translated as the beginning of guidance. Hafiz ibn Kathir's famous work is Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, the beginning to the end. And the great Maliki jurist ibn Rushd rahmatullah alayhi's work is Al-Bidayatul Mujtahid, the beginning of the Mujtahid. So Imam Ghazali has recorded this. Our beloved messenger had warned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Thalathan muhliqat. There are three destructive sins or vices. Firstly, obeying an impulse to be stingy. Secondly, following one's passions. And thirdly, admiring oneself. So three things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are destructive. Thalathan muhliqat. Three destructive vices. Obeying an impulse to be stingy. Following your passions and admiring yourself. So let's look at each of these. The miser, firstly, he thinks his miserliness is benefiting him. But in reality, it is the exact opposite. Look how interesting that is. The miser, when he doesn't give his wealth, why doesn't he give his wealth? And he will tell you, because why should I give my wealth? I need it myself. It's actually the complete opposite. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, he had interestingly commented upon the destructive characteristic of envy, hasad, which is related to miserliness. In his Al-Bidayatul Hidayah, page 112 of the English translation, so the great Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, envy is a greater form of miserliness. Look how amazing that statement is. Envy is a greater form of miserliness. The simple miser, in inverted commas, is the one who is stingy towards others with his possessions. But the greater miser, in inverted commas, is the one who is stingy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors upon his servants. Favors that are not even his, but of the vast treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's omnipotent power. So look at this very interesting observation. What is the link between envy and miser? A miser, the one who is envious and the one who is miserly, they're two destructive sins. There's a link. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, envy is a greater form of miserliness. It's worse. Why is it? Because the one who's simply a miser, he is being stingy with his own wealth. In his pocket, in the bank, etc., etc. But the greater miser, he is being stingy with what doesn't belong to him. With the favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to others. Think about that, innit? So when a person is envious, he says, why is that person? Why is he so handsome? He's being miserly with something that doesn't belong to him. So this is the worst or a greater type of miserliness. The Honorable Imam, rahmatullah alayh, he went on to clarify different types of envy. In Imam Ghazali, in his Bidayatul Hidayah, page 112 to 13 of the English translation, the envious person is one who is greatly pained when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, from the treasures of his omnipotent power, bestow on one of his servants wealth, knowledge, love in the hearts of people, or any kind of good fortune. He is thereupon pained to the point where he wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor would be taken away from that person, even if the same favor would not transfer to him as a result. So let's look at this quotation from the great Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. He goes, he's pained, the envious person. Over what? Imam Ghazali mentioned a few things, rahmatullah alayh. The first is wealth. He sees a person who's got wealth, and he goes, why has he got wealth? It pains him. Knowledge, the second thing he mentioned. Why has Allah Ta'ala given him knowledge? Thirdly, love in the hearts of people. Why do people find him, you know, find him to be a good company? And any other kind of good fortune. And because he's so ill, he doesn't mind if that is lost from that person, and even if it's not given to himself, as long as that other person loses that bounty. So this is envy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, envy destroys your good deeds, just like fire burns wood. In Abu Dawud. Now people don't forget to reflect upon this. When you commit a sin, if you look on your scales on the day of resurrection, you will see two parts to the scale. One is your good deeds, one is your sins. Envy attacks both. How? What do I mean by this? When you commit the horrific sin of envy, there's something now placed on the side of sins. But it also destroys good deeds. It's a double-edged sword, which means it's a major sin. When you commit more sins, it doesn't affect your good deeds. You understand? So when you commit more sins, it doesn't affect your good deeds. Graciously, when you do good deeds, Allah Ta'ala takes away your sins. But you have to note what particular sins take away your good deeds. And envy is one of them. The other one I can think of is usually taking interest. It destroys even jihad, the hadith mentions.
Can you actually envy without yourself knowing it?
I want to describe this now. There is, however, a permissible type of envy. This is permissible. It's called ghibta. Ghibta. This is when one sees merit in another and he wishes it without any harm coming to the other or losing it. So for instance, you see a person, he's blessed with a beautiful voice, Quranic recital. So in your heart, you wish for this. But you say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with it. I wish I also had this. But now, this is what's important to point out. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi in his Ihya 3-166, he said there are three categories of ghibta. So this is the permissible envy. There's three types which are all permissible. The first is the obligatory. Look how amazing that is. You got a fard, ghibta. The second is the recommended, mustahab, ghibta. And the third is the mubah, the permissible ghibta. So now let's give you examples. Examples of the obligatory types of ghibta that you must have are matters which are personally obligatory on the individual, such as iman, salah, zakah, etc. So for instance, you see a person, he's very strong in his salah, prays all five prayers in the masjid, you're praying four. So you, that is now obligatory ghibta. You understand? You say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please give me this. It's not sunnah, it's not nafl, it's obligatory. Think about that, innit? This is where the mistake occurs. When you see a person and he goes, brother, you shouldn't envy him. What are you envying him for? It's not envy. He's actually taking you away from an obligatory command. Iman. You see a person with strong iman. So what do you think? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please give me that iman. It's obligatory. Zakat. You may be a bit weak in giving your zakat, for instance, a'udhu billah. So these are obligatory types of ghibta. The second example, recommended, mustahab types of ghibta, are concerned with regards to meritorious acts, such as spending wealth, optional giving, reciting the Quran, etc. Now look how interesting that is. You see a qari, he's got a beautiful recital. In your heart, this is recommended. Now what's fascinating, there's a famous hadith about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact I want to mention it in a bit inshallah. And that hadith is talking about the recommended ghibda. Imagine you quote that hadith and you ask a person, what are you talking about there? This is how distant we are with matters of the heart. And then there are examples of permissible ghibda. Permissible. They are concerned with regards to those matters that are neither rewarding nor sinful. Such as a nice house, a nice car, a nice watch. So you see a person with a nice watch. Think about that, innit? You go, I wouldn't mind having that watch. But you go, may Allah bless it. This is permissible. You see a person with a nice house. Now look how strange it is. People who are not even, they haven't got knowledge. If you even think that and a person goes, well, you envying this house. And he goes, astaghfirullah. He's actually turning you away from something permissible. As long as you don't want harm to that person to come to it. So this is why it's important to go to the ulama. Imam Ghazali, he went on to make a very important point in his Ihya 3-166. Lack of ghibda. If you haven't got it, lack of ghibda, particularly where it concerns obligatory matters, indicates complacency, which is in itself a sin. So a person hasn't got it. He goes, I'm not envious. And he's proud of it. Take it to one side. Say, brother, look, calm yourself down. Brother, astaghfirullah. Envy is bad, isn't it? He goes, yes. But have you got ghibta? Then he goes, ghibwa. Right? And then he goes, ghibta. It's a permissible envy. He goes, how can a sin become permissible? He goes, look, it's not the same thing. And then once he's got that into his memory, he goes, now I want to explain to you there's different types of ghibta. So the guy is totally bamboozled now. And the reason is because these are matters that aren't discussed. Think about it. Are these matters, do you hear these matters being talked about? Isn't it important for us to have this understanding? This is obligatory knowledge. Now that hadith I talked to you about, this is a famous hadith. In Bukhari, in his Sahih, number 5025, Muslim in his Sahih, number 815, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, envy is not permissible except in two people. Firstly, a person to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the book. He lives by it day and night. And secondly, a person to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given wealth. And he spends it in charity by day and night. Because you are allowed to envy these people. Famous hadith, where is it recorded? Bukhari and Muslim. Now a question. Which type of ghibta is the Prophet referring to here? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What would you think?
Obligation.
Obligation? Any other views? It's the recommended. It's not the obligatory. Because those two aren't obligatory upon you. The recital of the Quran in a melodious voice, for instance, isn't obligatory. It's recommended. And to give, well, be generous with your wealth, as long as you pay your zakat. So this is a recommended ghibta. The hadith doesn't mention that. You understand? So this is why when you go to the hadith, yes, it's authentic. But that, some people think that's all I need to know. Say, brother, look, you mentioned it's authentic, but I want to know what the hadith means. So be careful between the two. Have you understood the difference between envy and ghibta? So that's the first thing. Going back to the initial report, what did I mention? The Prophet said, Thalathan muhliqat. There are three destructive vices. The first is obeying an impulse to be stingy. Miserliness related to envy. That's split into ghibta, which is three categories. The second or third thing the Prophet mentioned was admiring yourself. This is also destructive. This is the third thing the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will destroy you. Somebody goes, what do you mean admiring myself? So let's go through this. Sayyidina Ali, first of all, radiyallahu, in Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm 1-571, he said, self-admiration is the most serious of problems. Self-admiration is the most serious of problems. So now you've got two quotes. One from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the three destructive vices, admiring yourself. Now you've got a statement of Sayyidina Ali, قَرَّبَ اللَّهُ وَجْهُ. What did he say? Self-admiration is the most serious of problems. In other words, if you think it's a problem, you still haven't understood. It's not a problem. It's a serious problem. So still, you got to be honest. You think, well, what does it mean? So let's go through this. Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, he said in Majmu' Fatawa 10-277, self-admiration is similar to showing off. Admiring yourself is very similar to showing off. But, this is the important distinction, showing off is a kind of including people as a motive for one's efforts. Whereas self-admiration is including oneself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In brackets. In the sense that one remembers one's talents, but forgets that they all came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you understood? So you start thinking, you go into a deluded state. You start thinking, I'm special. Why? I've got capabilities other people haven't got. You understand? He might be a sportsman, for example. Right? He starts admiring himself. What happens? He forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you understood the link? Right? Showing off is when you include others. You understand? Admiration is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Admiring yourself. Then Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahmatullah alayh, thus the show off, this is not the one admiring himself, the show off, he is not fulfilling the Quranic words. Which words? This one makes you laugh. Guess which verse he quotes. You alone we worship. Surah Fatiha. Because the show off, he is not fulfilling the words in Surah Fatiha, verse 5. You alone we worship. Iyaka na'budu. And the one who admires himself, he is not fulfilling the next verse. Wa iyaka nasta'een. And from you alone we seek help. For the one who fulfills the words, Iyaka na'budu, you alone we worship, he will avoid showing off. If you alone worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who fulfills the word, wa iyaka nasta'een, and you alone we ask for help, he will avoid self-admiration. Look at these beautiful and most critical explanations. We don't even know Fatiha. Somebody goes, you know, self-admiration is mentioned in Surah Fatiha. And he goes, all praises for Allah. Look, it's not translation, right? It's mentioned in Fatiha. It's telling you there's a serious illness there, if you understand Fatiha. Then he goes, where does it mention it in Fatiha? And you say, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone, we ask for help. If you're admiring yourself, the last thing on your mind is seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means you're not fulfilling that command. And if you're showing off, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship, but you're showing off. Who are you worshipping? You're making people worship you like riya, calling yourself, people to yourself. So this is a classic example of not knowing the Quran. Surah Fatiha is the mudr of the book, we should discuss, right? The Ummul Kitab. People say, what does that mean, Ummul Kitab? And if you study it properly, I don't even know Fatiha. I'm saying it 17 times minimum in a day, behind the imam. You know, even you don't even know the mudr of the book, right? And look at those critical things you're asking your Lord to protect you from. So now, an example. When you give an example, everything fits in very nicely. A classic example of self-admiration was Qarun, the paternal cousin of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the great messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his cha-cha ne putr, his dad's brother's son, was Qarun. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Qarun? He says in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah 28 verse 77, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Such were the treasures we bestowed upon him, that their very keys would have been a burden to a body of strong men. Behold, his people said to him, noticing his self-admiration, his people said to him, لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. Exult not, For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those who exalt. So this is the passage. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this man? He said he had so much wealth that even the keys to the treasures, it would take men, strong men, to hold his keys. Then Allah subhanahu mentions some noble people. They were giving him nasihat. They goes, don't self-admire. Don't admire yourself. Allah Ta'ala doesn't love people who admire themselves. So what was the outcome? In the next holy verse, this accursed man responded. This is why such a disease. How did he respond to the advice? Does this sound like a believer? Surah Al-Qasas, Surah 28, verse 78. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He said, this has been given to me because of a certain knowledge which I have. Astaghfirullah. He goes, this that you're telling me, you know, in other words, he was thinking that they were after his wealth. He goes, this has been given to me because I got a special talent. What was he displaying? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Three of the destructive sins. Self-admiration. What did Sayyidina Ali say? It is a serious problem. He had it. Hafiz ibn Kathir clarified, rahmatullah alayh, in his tafsir, and Ibn Jarir as well in his tafsir. Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam, rahmatullah alayh, he explained this verse very well. He recited the verse which I've recited. He said, Qarun said, were it not for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me and knows my virtue, he would have not then given me this wealth. There's another slant here. He thought that Allah Ta'ala was happy with him. He goes, this is why I've got all this wealth. He goes, he's not happy with you. Thereupon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, Surah Al-Qasas, Surah 28, verse 78. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Did he not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed before him whole generations which were superior to him in strength and greater in riches that he had collected? Now the threat comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the people. So you'll see people, a'udhu billah, they're blessed with wealth. They're Muslims, not kafirs. But they've got that crippling illness, self-admiration. So when they look at people who are less well off, what do they feel in their hearts? Allah Ta'ala loves me. He's given me something he hasn't given them. And guess what that is? That is that destructive inner trait which the Prophet was warning you about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also warning the companions about, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then later in verse 81, the Almighty and Glorious mentions that this most accursed man was punished by the earth swallowing him up. Allah Ta'ala destroyed him. He made the earth swallow him up. Read verse 81 of Surah Al-Qasas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from this. Ameen. So now, this is why I'm going through this at length. Because the hadith, these are examples of hadith that you don't reflect upon. What was the initial hadith I started with? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Thalathan muhliqat. There are three destructive vices. Obeying an impulse to be stingy. I've discussed this. You understand? Envy and hasad. Miserliness and hasad. Ghibta. Obeying an impulse to be that will destroy you. Following your passions, which is obvious. And admiring yourself. Without all this commentary, you think, what? Why is it so bad? But when you look at how the scholars have broken it down, you're thinking, astaghfirullah, I've got that illness. And that's the first step to recovery. When you go to, you know, anonymous meetings, you know, Alcohol Anonymous and all these other anonymous, the first thing they will make you do is admit you've got a problem. You have to admit it. Think about that. Look how strange that is. A guy's a drug addict. He goes into a, and he goes, and they make him say it. He goes, yes, I have a problem. Another one won't admit it. He can go to the next person. Right? Why won't he admit it? He has to admit it for him to recover. So similarly, if you look at the glorious deed, the first thing for all of us is to register this. Have I got this illness? If I've got this illness, this is going to take me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first step to recovery. And then you can start working on this. And guess who else had this to give us a bit of comfort? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, one of the 10 promised paradise. Look at what happened. This is the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Nasai mentions it in more detail. He, in his heart, that's all it was. He saw the Ashab al-Suf, the poor companions, full-time students in Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in his heart, he thought, I've got something they haven't got. I've got wealth. Therefore, and something went through his heart. So he thought for the moment, I'm better off than them. Look what happened. He was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet received revelation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called Sa'ad. Don't forget, this is just his heart. Like you have these little talks amongst your, He called him. He goes, oh Sa'ad, what did you just think? Sa'ad straight away said, Udhi billahi. He goes, oh messenger. He goes, did you think that you're better than them? What was going through his heart? Self-admiration. And then the Prophet said something amazing. Is maybe it's because of them that you've reached your rank. Oh Sa'ad. In other words, look at how he gave the cure to him. Because the ones that you're looking down on, maybe because of their du'as, their supplications, Allah has blessed you with your status. So how could you look down upon them? Straight away he corrected it. Immediate correction. Because astaghfirullah. Look how he creeps into the heart. People don't discuss this. Why? Because they're talking about other things. Like, I'm going to hell and you're talking about, you know, what's happening in Watford, right? You know, subhanAllah. So these are critical matters of the heart that scholars have discussed. So what you do straight away is you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever evil qualities I've got, whether I know them or not, help me to detect them and to also rid them. Get rid of these qualities. And look how amazing it is. Every human being's got the heart. And we get this sometimes. You see somebody, example, you see a person who's weak in Islam. And what happens? Astaghfirullah. You think, I'm better than him. Again, how do you know you're better than him? Isn't that the same as what Sa'ad was doing, radiallahu? So you go straight, and that's why the scholars, Shaykh Habib al-Jifri from Yemen, when his students were coming to America, they were given some parting advice. And look at the advice he gave. He said, when you give da'wah to the non-Muslims, you must believe that they're better than you. So then, you know, the students, they went, Shaykh, he goes, how can we do that? He goes, because they've got an excuse. You haven't. In other words, if they die, Allah is going to forgive them because they didn't get the message. But you're going to be questioned. So what was he telling them? What was he implanting into their hearts? If you've got, imagine you're doing dawah to all non-Muslims and you've got that in your heart. Because Ya Allah, they're all better than me. But I'm just reminding them. How powerful would that dawah be? But look what happens. You see the opposite taking place. The guys ranting and raving, looking down upon the people. Is that the sunnah? Right? And they are Muslims. You're looking down upon Muslims. You're not even supposed to look down upon non-Muslims. And that's why these things have a grave impact upon our efforts. The other thing that people talk about is, you know, how successful is your da'wah? Allah Ta'ala knows, brother. You want to know numbers? He goes, you know, how many shahads have you got this week? Allah Ta'ala knows, brother. Like, why do you want to know the numbers? Look, I just want to do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I start finding out how effective my da'wah is, what are you putting into my heart? Imagine somebody goes to you, your da'wah is better than that other person's da'wah. What's he actually putting into your heart? I must be better than you. Astaghfirullah, are you telling me that? Brother, look, don't tell me these stats. I just want to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is again matters of the heart. And look how beautiful that is, isn't it? When a person's pure from the inside, it will manifest outward. But if a person's corrupt from the inside, how is he going to benefit others? You know, subhanAllah. Let me just finish with this. It is also interesting to note that in the same sacred verses, it mentions that the ignorant ones were looking up to Qarun before he was punished. Look how interesting that is. Before he got punished, they went, you know, basic modern day term, hi, he's got it, he's the one, we got to look up to him. The ignorant ones were doing this to Qarun until he was punished. And guess what happened? They only came around after he was punished. Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious says about them, those people, in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah 28, verse 82, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And those who had envied his position the day before began to say the next, ah, it is indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who enlarges the provision or restricts it to any of his servants he pleases. had it not been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was gracious to us, He could have caused the earth to swallow us up also. Ah, those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assuredly never prosper. Allahu Akbar. They came around. They only came around after what? Look how interesting that is. People go, why does Allah ta'ala send calamities? Don't you read Quran, brother? They wake Muslims up. They go into a deluded mode. Suddenly, something strikes. Then what do people start? They start talking like insan again. Astaghfirullah, we better sort ourselves out. Look, all these tsunami hit. It could have happened to us. And then it wears off. Astaghfirullah. You go back into that mode again. Look what they did. As soon as he was punished, they did shukr. That where, because Ya Allah, we were thinking this. And you showed to us that this was an illness. And you protected us. This shows therefore how deluded these individuals and those who aspire to be like them become. No, a'udhu billah. And inshallah, we'll continue from here tomorrow. So all again destructive, this is why you're depressed today, right? When I talked about destructive qualities, I've warned you beforehand. People don't like talking about, you know, the roses and flowers. What about those shrubs and those thorns? Let's talk about them. And then you look at that, you're thinking, astaghfirullah. And this is the thing, you should remind each other. At least now we can detect these illnesses. You think, astaghfirullah. Is there any questions you'd like to ask? We'll continue from here tomorrow. But the thing is, when the brother walks in tomorrow, I've actually started the subject. So when I start tomorrow, they're going to be lost. Right? But inshallah, may dua in it. Any questions? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم